Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. As always, thank you for giving me your time. Today I'm here with?
My name is Jaden.
Nice to meet you, Jaden. Give us a little background about yourself, where you're from, things you do, or, you know, your current occupation or anything.
Okay, well, my name is Jaden. I'm from Inglewood, California. A little bit about me. I always hate this question. I guess a little bit about me is I like to dance.
Yeah.
I like to write. I like to read. I love to sleep. I like to eat. I like to cook. I also like to paint. I'm pretty ass at it. Wait, can I cuss?
Yeah, you can cuss. You can cuss.
I'm pretty ass at it, though. But I do enjoy it. Yeah, what else? I don't know.
I mean, you don't got to write like a 3-page paragraph. It's okay. That's okay. Enough. We just wanted to get to know you a little bit. But like based on your interests, it seems like you are a person of expression. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how dance was a big part of your life. So if you want to just get into that, you can. And to sort of preface it for you, like how has dance played a part in your life? And how do you think it has shaped your worldview now from like when you were a kid?
That's a good question. I feel like how dance has shaped my worldview is kind of like I'm able to be appreciative of like other people's like craft,
mm-hmm.
And like their different interests and what that looks like for them. So I think it's that. I think low-key, it really taught me that not everybody has rhythm. Like, that's really not attractive. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I really just be like, damn, like, what aren't you getting?
Like, no, some people I see, like, they be moving like robots. I be feeling so bad because it's like, how do you operate in your everyday life?
Yeah, not even, like, just, like, robotic movement, but, like, just a basic, like, 1, 2, 3. It's just like, is the beat not necessary? Like, I don't know, like. No shade, but I really thought, like, all black people were born with rhythm.
Yeah, nah. It's for sure something that we do have, but nah, not everybody have it.
Yeah. So I think I just really started to have a okay, maybe my brain is just a little differently, like, wired, I guess.
Yeah. And how was, like, the expression from that important to you today? Like, being able to, do you feel like you were an aggressive person or like, do you feel like you hold a lot of things in and the only way to get it out is not through words but through movement?
I think that was like a really the case when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm very shy, you know. Sometimes I appear not to be as shy, but I am a very shy individual. But like, especially when I was a kid, like I didn't have very many words, like,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So dance gave me like, you know, the outlet to kind of just be like free and be me, and to be comfortable in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And it really like helped me get comfortable in like my blackness too, because, mm-hmm. You know, I usually see people who dance on TV that don't look like you. So
yeah.
It was nice being in spaces with dancers that looked like me.
Yeah.
So that was great. I think now, as far as like how it might have shaped me and like, I don't know, because you speak about like aggression. the world made me this way. Like, you know, it was kind of by force, not really by choice. I'm not like crazy aggressive. I want to say that.
Yeah.
I think this world has helped me kind of like get a voice for myself.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Okay. And I didn't dance, but I grew up around a lot of dancers. My cousin owns like a dance company in Detroit, Motor City Dance Company, and I don't know. Growing up, I would have to like go to practice with my sister sometimes, and those are like long days, and y'all just doing dances all day. Like it's like a 9 to 5. Like I get there in the morning, and we not leaving till late at night. And I never like once like truly like questioned or watched what was going on. But now that I think about it, that is a lot for even a child. So,
yeah. How? You're saying dance isn't a sport. Like,
yeah, no, that's a sport, bro. They're conditioned. They strong. They got it. But yeah, But I did play a lot of sports growing up, and I would say as well, like, that helped me express a lot of things that I just wasn't comfortable expressing with words. Sometimes I feel like in certain communities, like even like Black communities, it's not using your words isn't really something that's we feel like we all should do. It's not a law, but it's like sort of an unspoken rule that's like just keep it to yourself and sort of just figure out a way to get through it or get around it. And sports was a really good outlet for like anything I had pent up, like any type of sadness or any like anger, even happiness that was like built up. I could express it through sports because I'm moving free. It was sort of my time to be outside of myself, where I didn't really have to think about who I was or who I am or who I wanted to be like in the future. I didn't have to think about my homework. I didn't have to think about something that happened at home before. I could like literally leave everything outside and just go into the practice field or just go into the game. And even when you out there like getting banged up, I played football. So even when you out there, you know, you used to want to play football.
Yeah, I played rugby.
Rugby?
Yeah.
Talk about
young. The first time I played rugby, I thought I could tackle someone. Are you like, no. Like, you need to go sit down. I'm like, damn, like, this ain't
rugby. We gotta tap back in on that. That's I know some guys that play rugby, but they not Black. So yeah, getting out there, you know what I'm saying? Even like getting hit, it was like like a boost of energy that you can just have to just go on with. But
so like playing football, you didn't mind like it being like so rough and stuff?
Yeah, no, not at all. Mm-hmm. I sort of like not look for the contact because I play receiver, so it's like the whole objective is to not get hit. Yeah. But I can respect a good hit. Like, I respect fundamentals. Like, when I'm out there, that's what it is. It's the game of football. And it opens that space to where I don't feel trapped by my emotions. Mm. You know, outside of sports for a really long time, I felt, like, super trapped in my emotions. Didn't really understand how to open up or open them up. Like, you know, people say it's okay for you to open up in this space, but when that hasn't really been demonstrated to you or, like, truly sit down, talk, and you talk about it, it's hard to do because it's something that I just did not understand. Mm-hmm. And I think holding that in for, like, a really, really long time messed me up a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a habit that I had to unlearn and that I'm continuing to unlearn right now. But I feel that expression of any sort is extremely important. And now I find myself expressing myself through a lot of art. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to doodle. I like to paint. And I usually do, like, abstract things. And I never truly think about the colors I use or what I'm painting, the faces that I paint or the bodily or the figures that I paint. Mm-hmm. I never truly think about them. But sometimes when I look back and look at the picture, I can feel the picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's what's up. You're actually, like, I feel like you're able to articulate, like, your emotions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Yeah. It's something that I most definitely had to train, I guess you could say. It's something that you learn, for sure. But a lot of it came through, like, reading or writing essays and then falling in love with writing. Like you were saying, you were, like, in love with writing. Mm-hmm. Falling in love with writing really helped me be able to take what I was saying on paper and say it out loud. Mm-hmm. I had a good time talking to, like, teachers who noticed that I was good at writing, and then they'll tell me, Austin, explain more, and I'll explain more and then go into depth. Especially when you get me on a topic that I'm, like, truly interested in, then it's like, you can't shut me up. Because now I'm listening to you, you're listening to me in this ongoing conversation. Yeah. But back to you. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that you started a dance team at your school. Mm-hmm. How was that process, and why did you do it?
Well, I thought about doing it because, like, before I went to my school, I just saw they didn't have shit. Like,
what school was it? You got
to. I'm not trying to shock you. But, yeah, they didn't have anything. Like, they had, like, just discontinued, like, the cheer and dance team. Mm-hmm. I went in, like, the year of COVID, too, so there was really, like, just not anything for real. So, actually, somebody I'm friends with now, she hit the group chat like, hey, y'all, like, we should start. Because it's actually crazy because me and her were having a conversation about it. And then, like, the Cardinal Divas came out. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So she hit the group chat, like, hey, like, who wants to start, like, a black dance team, like, a black majorette dance team? So I hit her up, like, hey, I'm interested. Some other people hit her up in the group chat, like, hey, they're interested. And it kind of just went from there, and we kind of, like, co-founded that together.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually been, like, really hard to get off the ground, won't lie. Like, mm-hmm. it's just now starting to, like, get accepted, mm-hmm. I guess.
Like, throughout the school or by the students?
Just throughout the school, like, because I call it a PAI because it's, like, predominantly Asian.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, I never heard of that late reference before.
Because I'm, like, PWI, like, not even like that. Like, I see white people, but, like, the Asians, they're taking it.
Yeah, like, they got it. For sure. You see Riverside, it's theirs.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, it was just really hard to get off the ground. And sometimes, like, our people, black people, we don't know how to always come together and mm-hmm. be okay with, like, supporting each other. We kind of like to, hey, like, I want to, it's like a power struggle a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we struggle with that for a little bit as a club and an organization. And now, 2 years later, like, now athletics is like, okay, like, we want to sponsor y'all. We want y'all at games. We don't even have a football team, so there's that.
What games are you going to be? Oh, I guess the basketball. That's about yeah. it, huh?
And then basketball season is going to be over, and then, I don't know.
So how do you keep it together then? Have you had, like, off season like this where the basketball season ends and you got to keep the team together?
So this is actually our first time really, like, working with athletics. Mm-hmm. So I'm about to see how it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because our first game that we're performing at is actually next week, question mark?
And,
yeah.
Do you develop, like, the choreographs and stuff?
Yes, so it's actually a lot of pressure.
Yeah. What is that process like? I've always wanted to ask somebody, like, how do you come up with a choreography? Do you just listen to the song first, start doing some shit, and then...
Yeah, like, you listen to the song, you're like, okay, like, this could eat here, like, okay.
Okay.
Like, you know, yeah, you just gotta kind of get inspired, like, mm-hmm. watch a couple music videos or something, and mm-hmm. just like, okay, like, I like that.
And then how do you remember the moves? You know what I'm saying? You're doing the moves, and then you... It's like freestyling.
I don't know. Like, yeah, it's like freestyling, but I think, like... I really can't explain it. I guess it's just, like, the creative process. Like, okay, I'm listening to something like, oh, like, okay, this would look nice with this beat.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's, like, I hear it again, and I'm like, okay, let me do this. And sometimes if I feel like I forget, I'll just, like, record
mm-hmm. a rough draft. Yeah, and then sort of go back, tweak it, okay, and then you build it up, and then you got to learn it. And then how do you feel teaching dances to others has sort of helped you in other aspects of your life? Because that's very difficult to do, to teach somebody else to dance.
I agree. It's kind of challenging, especially depending on, like, you know, we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of helped me just step into more of, like, a leadership role,
mm-hmm.
And get more comfortable with using my voice. Because I'm very, like, believe it or not, I'm pretty non-confrontational. Like, I just don't want to, like, rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of hard, like, trying to assert myself while also making people comfortable, because I think that these are my peers. Like,
yeah.
I'm not 10 years older than y'all. Like, it's probably like a 2-year difference or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've actually enjoyed, like, leading them, and it's just shown me different things about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just about, like, working with people and mm-hmm. patience.
Okay. And as a dancer, how do you view music? Because I know, like, producers, like, when producers listen to music, they listen for the beats. They mm-hmm. they listen for the stuff that a lot of people can't hear. Mm-hmm. When rappers hear music, they most likely listen into the lyrics. So as a dancer, what do you look for when you listen to music?
I guess, like, the rhythm of it, and, like, I feel like dancing is all about creating your own tempo, mm-hmm. like, staying on beat. But you can choose to, like, slow it down or speed it up mm-hmm. based on the song. Like, even mm-hmm. if the song is, like, fast, you can still fit, like, something slow to it.
So would you find, like, the notes, I guess you could say, that sort of follow the slower cadence, huh?
Yeah, I definitely, like, work with the cadence and search for the cadence of the song. That's kind of how I like
That's it. Important, that's important. And I guess I can relate it to this as well. Like, how do you see dancing incorporate itself within your imagination? Like, How do you like? Do you do you yeah? Do you daydream a lot, or like how does it go for you?
I do find myself pretty much like a daydreamer, like imaginative. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd be like, whoa.
Too much.
Because yeah. I feel like that also plays into like overthinking and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as dance, I mean, I feel like your imagination kind of has to go well with like dance because mm-hmm. It's creativity, you mm-hmm. know? And I feel like in order to be creative for real, you have to like imagine it in order to do it.
Yeah.
And like imagine different possibilities and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if I No, that didn't answer the question. I had another follow-up question. It was something like, we were just talking about imagination, creativity. How do you, like, stay outside of the box? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if you get into a certain dance category, like, say you hip-hop, for instance, you get stuck in hip-hop. Mm-hmm. For whatever dance category you do, how do you stay outside of the box and continue to incorporate new moves?
Okay, that's good. Well, growing up, I was, like, ballet trained, mm-hmm. So it was very, like, just straight to the point, not mm-hmm. much, like, freestyle, mm-hmm. But I would say, like, that did help, like, condition and, like, prepare me for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, within that, I was able to get into, like, modern dancing, I spent my summers in New York as a kid, just had, like, Alvin Ailey and Broadway Dance Studio, just mm-hmm. different things like that, And, yeah, I say all that to say, like, being trained in that area specifically, I wanted to see more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like I, like, leaned towards ballet because I did see, like, it was kind of, I won't say it was, like, stereotypical, but mm-hmm. it was, like, you've seen black dancers, like, you know, hip-hop, and it was, like, that's not all we can do. Like,
yeah, we can do other things.
Rap music, like, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's why I leaned more towards what I was doing. But anyways, mm-hmm. Just being around dancers that did different things, being able to be in, like, such a creative space, which I feel like New York is for dance,
mm-hmm.
I was able to, like, just get inspired in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first time doing major at dancing was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there was still, like, ballet within that, like, it's pretty, like, it's like a structured movement. I don't feel like it's like cheer, you just kind of, you know,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just really like in touch with your roots as a black person, so it's like, yeah. Okay, like, yeah, this is me, this feels right.
And if you were to teach a student, you know what I'm saying, from like really young, which form of dance would you start with first? Would it be ballet because it's so fundamental, or what style?
I feel like I'd probably start with ballet because I feel like everything else, like, branches from that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you'll kind of understand, like, why other styles of dance are what they are, like Horton or, like, Dunham.
What are those? I don't know those. Yeah.
basically, like, how do I describe it? They're forms of modern dancing. Uh-huh. Modern is, like, not ballet, but, like, kind of similar, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But like Horton and Dunham is kind of like, I was introduced to that through Alvin Ailey, and it was kind of, it's like hip movement, it's uh-huh. like straight arms, it's very like not traditional,
uh-huh.
but I like it.
That's good. It's that's very, good. That's good.
Yeah, different. But you should watch. There's this dance show, not dance show, but one of the programs Alvin Ailey puts on is called Revelations.
Revelations. Talk about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I actually recently saw it in person sometime last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of, like, Negro spirituals and stuff.
Okay.
Which is nice. But it's crazy because there were so many white people in the audience. Like,
they low-key be infatuated. Like, they be interested,
like,
too.
Y'all, like, what do y'all think? Like, do y'all think this is, like, some minstrel dance? Like, I don't know. Like, it was just very, like, I don't know. But Revelations, I really enjoyed because it's like, I'm very like, low-key like of a militant spirit a little bit.
Okay.
And it's like, I'm very into blackness, black people.
Yes.
And, yeah, everything black.
Uh-huh.
So it's just nice to see, like, I guess them dance through the struggle, if that makes sense, because it's like listening to the music and it's like, wow, like dance is deep.
Yeah, what is the music like for those type of shows?
So like Revelation, like I said, it's like Negro spiritual. So you have like Wade in the Water. You have like it's very wow. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's Negro spiritual. It's very just like deep. It's like heavy. Like I don't know. I was damn near about to cry. Like, okay, this is nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, y'all should just go watch that. Actually, I can't even like explain.
Can't even describe it for real. Yeah. So when you see things like the Nutcracker, what do you think?
See, I've actually never watched the Nutcracker. I've watched the Hot Chocolate Nutcracker. You
know what's that?
It's this program Debbie Allen puts on. You know who that is? Okay. Well, she's you know Felicia Rashad?
Nope.
She was Mrs. Huxtable.
Who's Mrs. Huxtable?
You've never seen The Cosby Show. This is really giving like anti-black.
No, I got it.
You've never seen The Cosby Show with Bill Cosby?
I seen Bill Cosby in the show, but I don't know the names besides his. Okay.
You still don't know,
it's okay. I mean, like, I got a small visual in my head, but come on, keep going.
Anyways,
keep going.
Yeah, she's her sister. And she, I think she was a part of the musical Fame. Okay, yeah, nice.
I'm learning from you, like, as we go.
But, yeah, so she kind of got, like, big off of that, Debbie Allen. And she has her own dance studio in, like, the Crenshaw District.
Okay, that's tough.
And, yeah, she puts on a black version of the Nutcracker, which is, like, ballet and different things like that. Mm-hmm. They have, like, hip-hop incorporated ballet. It's just black people. It's just nice.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about the Hot Chocolate. As far as the Nutcracker, I've never had it.
You never just wanted to look at it, give it a glance.
No.
How do you feel like you can give back to the communities and the importance of incorporating dance within these communities, like the black communities, of course, like in the inner city?
I feel like I'm kind of giving back to them right now a little bit. Like, even though I am young and I don't have, like, hella, like, knowledge to drop, I just feel like I have a lot of people on my team who have never danced before, and now they're like, okay, like, I didn't know I could do this. Like, I'm really enjoying this. So I think that is, like, a small way. I've also thought about, like, once I get, like, my career established and I'm not chilling, but chilling, I thought about, like, opening a dance studio.
Dance studio. And what would you call it? Like, what would be the name? Like, just if you just come up with the name, you know?
I didn't think that far.
You gotta, you know, so you gotta imagine these things. You gotta, like, sort of visualize them.
I'm gonna have to get back to you. Yeah. Because I've actually never thought about that. Yeah, but I knew that I didn't want it in in an inner city area.
Yeah.
The hood, quote unquote.
Quote unquote. It's we gotta start building these areas up, in my opinion. I see small ways of, like, people trying to do it every day, but the only way any of this stuff changes is if we change it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be the hood. You know what I'm saying? It can be cool. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a lot of inspiration is pulled from it anyway. You know, a lot of people, like, a lot of art can be inspired by struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People don't really glorify the richness anymore. People don't really glorify the rich as much as, like, the rich glorify the poor. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it, the rich man don't want the painting from some hand-me-down, you know, some Rothschild. They want it from the struggling painter who they can make a name for them, you know what I'm saying? They like to find the hidden gem.
Like, with wanting to make a name for them, or you think it's kind of like...
What you think?
I think it's low-key like some... I don't think it's always this, but I think it's kind of like... like them asserting themselves in different ways. Like
I made you, like, yeah, so you now know, you owe me something,
like,
type.
Sometimes it's a little iffy.
It can come from a different place of heart, huh? I can see how that can be portrayed. But I just think art should be pushed more in these inner city communities, like we were talking about. Like, art itself is such a beautiful thing that can't truly be explained, and it sort of explains itself. And we don't put kids in creative positions enough for them to feel like they can express themselves through art. You know, like me growing up, I never thought I could draw because all the drawings I was looking at were, like, super good. But I had to realize that there were other roads of art. Like, you got abstract art, you got the modern art, you got the Victorian art, you know what I'm saying? You got the anime, you know what I'm saying? And, it was sort of like finding what suits you and being able to use that to start your journey. But we don't really open up the floor to kids enough for them to feel like, oh, I can do this. Yeah. They sort of see the, what's it called? They sort of see the, what would that even be called? They see what they think something should look like. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't look like that on their paper, yeah, they just erase everything they have. Yeah. And we got to find a way to sort of open that piece within their mind.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry,
I'm not No, it's okay. But yeah, how do you feel about that?
I think I agree, and I feel like Black people, for real, we should really tap into that like creative side and not really shy away from it. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's the only reason why we are where we are now. Like, we had to imagine, we had to create and be like, okay, I know that I could, you know, be free from this plantation, so how can I do that? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we are really tapped in creatively, but I think we shy away from it because of like stigmas, especially like maybe with like men and things, like feeling like certain art forms are just like rapping.
Yeah.
When you could tap into singing, like drawing, poetry, like sculpture art, just so many different things. And I think we really just need to stop limiting ourselves and know that we are what we are because of our imagination.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes we label certain things with sexuality a lot. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys may not want to dance because they feel like it's the G word, you know what I'm saying? Or they might not, I don't want to say that. some guys may not want to write poetry because it makes them seem soft. Yeah. So they start rapping and cussing and all of this. And I don't think that's the way we should continue to go. We have to find a way to preach expression, like we've been talking about the whole podcast, in a way to where people feel comfortable within themselves expressing it. But I don't think that happens unless we tap into the parents. You know, it's always get to the kids. But the kids are being raised by their parents. So it has to be something to where certain programs or certain things that can be put on for parents to understand, for parents to understand that the times are changing. Things are changing. And it's important for them to change with the times. And even if they don't feel comfortable with it because it's not something they grew up with, it's important for you to sort of bestow that on your children because they are the new future. They are the future generation of the world. Like, parents, you had your chance. You know what I'm saying? You still got time. But they got more years than you naturally. So whatever you teach them is what they're going to take on with them pressing forward.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And I think, like, it really does start with the parents. So I was even talking to my grandma today. I'm like, what are your hobbies? She's like, I don't have any. What? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like, nothing? Like, reading? She's like, no. She's like, well, I like watching the Game Show Network. I'm like, okay, I guess that's a hobby. I'm like, what about word search or something? She's like, eh. I'm like, well, what about when you're a kid? She's like, well, I like track. I'm like, where's the creativity?
Yeah, it's always sports. What is it in the Black neighborhood? Sports, rapping, or nothing at that. You know what I'm saying? Or like you get the occasional few that become doctors, the big doctors, you know what I'm saying? But like even that is rare because we don't glorify school enough. I hate this, but something I noticed is that reading was used too much as a punishment to kids. And when you associate reading with a punishment, why would I want to read when I get older? And it's like,
you know what I think? Not even to be that guy, but I think it stems a little bit from like a slave mentality a little bit because we got in trouble for reading.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, now we're using this as like negative reinforcement. Like, okay, yeah, you need to read now. And it's like, wait, why is this punishment now for reading? But why is reading like the punishment? But at first, like, we get punished for reading, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's like, it's probably already like in our DNA or in our genes to be not afraid of reading, but sort of stray away from it because of that like innate fear that something's gonna happen if we know how to read. Mm-hmm. But education is one of the most important things. But I was watching a video this morning on like the different type of intelligences, and it was saying how school just works for one type of intelligence, and that's if you are good at being logical and understanding, like, patterns and stuff. But school systems today don't do a good enough job of catering to the kids who just learn differently.
Yeah.
And I for sure know, I want to do a study on this, but I know kids have been wrongly placed in learning disability classes just because they learn a different way.
Right.
And for that to be the standard of America to this is how you're going to learn and this is it, things need to change.
No, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that, I don't know, I think that even with, like, parenting for, like, as far as, like, education and stuff goes, it's like, okay, hey, Mom, what's 3 + 3? If Sally got, like, well, why are you you might just have to draw it out for me. I'm gonna be a visual learner.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I need to be more hands-on. Maybe you need to give me 3 apples. Give me 3 more. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think, I don't know. I wish that our people really understood how powerful, like, an educated Black individual is.
Yeah.
Educated doesn't even have to be, like, by the white man's, like, idea.
Yeah, you're the smartest room, you get A pluses on everything, but
yeah.
Sort of just being well versed in whatever subject you like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things that I'm finding myself doing now is just finding the activities that I like to do. Like, I like to use cameras, I like to play with music, I like to draw.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that and just learning things within it. How can I be bad at something? Like, sometimes I just aim to be the worst because it
mm-hmm.
putting myself in that mindset takes away all the need for excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm cool at being bad at this, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I'm able to learn without putting myself in that spectacle that everything needs to be perfect right now
mm-hmm.
or that I need to have it all together. Like, sometimes I just do things in no mindset to present it to anybody else ever at any
right.
point. Because I feel like once I do get in that mindset, I'll be catering towards what I think people want to see.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you've played into any expectations, like, growing up and stuff?
I think with drawing, for real, I really wanted to be good at drawing. I really wanted to be good at drawing.
Yeah.
That's just not the gift God gave me. But it makes sense. My mom, shit, her drawing, her creativity is But, yeah, so I really wanted to be good at drawing, so I kind of was like, okay. Because, like, when I was in, like, third grade, I was like, okay, I want to be a fashion designer.
Yeah.
I'm like, how am I going to design fashion and, like, I can't draw? Like,
a lot of fashion designers do not know how to draw.
Right, but I didn't know that.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm just like, okay. So I just had my mom buy me, like, a little stencil thing. I could, like, stencil off the clothes. And I'm like, this is ass.
Yeah, because it feels so robotic. You know what I'm saying? Don't feel like...
somebody else's idea design. Like, what? I don't want to wear a little peplum shirt. Like, no. But now I've kind of just accepted that, you know, I'm not the best artist as far as drawing goes. But
mm-hmm.
that's okay. Like, I still enjoy it.
How can I still
so
step
I don't
into
mind
it?
Being ass at it.
Yeah. And it's fun. Sometimes it's fun to do stuff without... what's it called? What is it called? Sometimes it's fun to do things without the hope that anybody will see it. Like, you know, like, when you make, like, a private account and you just have it, you don't really got to think about followers or likes.
Mm-hmm.
I love those type of things, and I've been trying to fall in love with them by just, I don't care who sees it.
Yeah.
I want to do it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what socials especially, like, have the standard of today is sort of making you feel like, if your shit don't get 500 likes,
mm-hmm.
it's a bad post. You know what I'm saying? It's a bad post. Or
yeah.
if 30 people don't comment, it's a bad outfit. But it's really, it might be like one of the best outfits. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
it might be one of the best outfits ever created. But you wouldn't know because we look so much for that external validation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've been doing a better job of just putting on that lens of, I don't care who sees it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it anyway.
Exactly.
I don't care who care about it. I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that we've really just changed, like, what social media is. Because Instagram, like, when I shouldn't have had Instagram, Instagram was, like, people posting their plates. Like, random shit, like a view.
Yeah.
And not posting on their story because we didn't have stories. Like, it was just an actual post.
It was just there, and it was just go down.
You have know what I'm saying? Like, I like that, but now there's, like, a science to it, and there's just so much, like...
All these algorithms, how can I reach the most people? How can I do this to please them? It's...
And parents really be like, it's that damn phone, and it really is that damn phone. But it's like, we're just corrupt.
Yeah.
Because of technology.
So how do you ever take, like, technology breaks?
Yeah, I do. Instagram is actually deactivated right now.
Yeah.
I'm one of those, like, every 3 months, I'm like, hey, okay.
Gotta take a break.
Yeah. I think it's because I just get so caught up in, like, okay, this 22-year-old living in Atlanta, she's driving a G-Wagon. I just drive a Honda Civic. Like, what am I doing wrong? But it's like, I try not to get caught up in that. But I think after, like, hours of just, like, scrolling or just looking at it, it's like, okay, I'm starting to feel like I'm at a different place, but I'm exactly where I need to be.
You're right.
And I think it's also like, I'm mindlessly scrolling. I could be reading a book, learning how to crochet, because I didn't learn how to crochet. But yeah, and I'm not doing that. I'm on TikTok laughing.
Yeah.
Talking about something. You know what? Okay.
And it's, that's a very important, like, perspective to have on the world, because even if you feel like you're mentally strong enough to have social media to where you're like, I ain't really thinking about what nobody else thinking, your brain is subconsciously doing it, because it's seeing people with things that you want, and it realizes that you don't have them, and it's like, why do they have them and I don't? And you're subconsciously trying to answer that question, and that's where a lot of, like, insecurities come from. That's where, like, a lot of anxiety comes from, because you're like, oh my god, they're the same age as me. They have it. I don't have it. I don't have enough time to get it. And you start thinking about, like, getting older, and you just never going to have it. So it's thinking about a future. That's the danger of thinking about your future while putting yourself in your current circumstance. Like, don't imagine a future without imagining yourself growing at the same time. Sometimes I find myself looking at the future, but I'm still in the mindset that I have right now. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like not envisioning the world. You can envision an entire new world, but with the same you. If you're going to envision an entire new world, envision an entire new version of yourself at the same time. Like, see what progression you're going to make. See the progression that you've made, or, like, how much money you want to have, or however you define success. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you're doing that. That's extremely important.
And I think, like, there's ways to imagine and be creative without looking at somebody else's, like, social media. And, like, you know, maybe if you didn't see this, you wouldn't feel like, hey, am I walking, like, the right path? Like, no, you're on the path that you need to be on. And I just think, I don't know, I feel like social media kind of can corrupt, like, your ability to, like, create and be creative in different ways.
Yeah. That's why I take it and just put it on my iPad. I love my iPad. Like, you know, just put the just put TikTok on there and sort of, because it's so big, you can feel like when you, like, getting sunk into it, you just close it, put it up, and then I try to make my phone the most boring device that I have. Just have it to have it sometimes. Just have it to make calls, text people, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, I try to walk around and use the world as my canvas. Like, now I got, like, a little notebook I, like, walk around with and sort of just draw things that I see in the current moment, or stimulate my imagination with things that I would like to draw, or, like, imitate the drawing of. Like, I was drawing palm trees earlier because I could see them outside, you know what I'm saying? And keep exercising that muscle, because that's what's going to keep you going in the long run. Like, Instagram not going to matter when you're 60.
Exactly.
It's not going to matter when you're 30. It's not going to matter, like, in a few years. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's better for you to learn to live a life outside of it right now than being so consumed in it. And by the time you look up, you in a life where it don't matter, and now you feel stuck.
Yeah, and I agree. Or by the time you look up and it's like, okay, 5 years passed and I still didn't open this restaurant I wanted to open.
Right.
What have I been doing?
Yeah, people they wait for the right time. They wait for, what's the perfect time for me to do this? It's never going to be a perfect time. And so what are some things that you have started that you Yeah, what are some things that you've started that you feel like you would have, like, procrastinated?
This team for really getting it off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I have a passion for it, but at a certain point, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm tired of fighting tooth and nail. But, you know, I didn't give up on that. What else? I don't know. Like,
are you starting to crochet?
I'm gonna start. I plan to start before the year is up because I don't really like the whole New Year's resolution thing.
Yeah, I was talking about that with somebody. Who was I talking about that with? I forgot. But the whole New Year, new me thing.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
I feel like you need to start doing it before the New Year begins, because what makes you think you're gonna wake up January 1st like an epiphany? Like, let me get my life together. Like, that's not how it goes.
And a lot of, like I was saying, a lot of New Year's resolutions that people tend to make take time to develop. Like
the gym.
Yeah. Like, if you want to go to the gym, you got to start in, like, November, December. You know what I'm saying? And that way, January 1st, you already got, like, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks in?
Yeah, because what does it take, like, 30 days to build a habit?
Or something like that, yeah.
So how do you think on January 1st, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym every day?
It's good.
Probably start before.
Yeah, and start to, especially before the gym get crowded, because everybody going to the gym on January 1st.
No.
So what are some things besides crocheting, that, like, some habits that you feel like you're building now that you want to have in place before January 1st?
I feel like getting back into reading and, like, putting my phone down. So not reading what's on social media, but, like, picking up an actual book and making sure, like, I spend time reading. Because I think, like, even with me, like, reading my Bible, I find myself like, oh, okay, I read for 5 minutes. Let me just scroll on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, the way my attention span is, like, just so much, like, shorter.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because as a kid, like, I would read nonstop. Like, I could sit for hours with a book. But then it's just, like, social media, I think, teaches you, or technology in general, just teaches you, like, move fast. Like, just keep going. And it's, like, it's okay to be still. So I think I've just been practicing stillness.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it be like writing, reading, or just sitting with my thoughts, just looking around at, like, you know, what's around me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just appreciating the beauty in, like, everyday life.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to do that now, so that way if the new year comes, it's not anything like new. It's like a habit. So
that's, like, super important. That's something that I've also, like, sort of been stepping into, just going outside and breathing, like, just taking in the fresh air, pay attention in class. You know, like, it's easy to get lost in your device, like, during class, but I think last week, I don't know what happened, but I was just in class just participating. I'm usually, like, a really good participator, but I was, like, extra participating this day, and I'm, like, I'm raising my hand, I'm asking questions, I'm making the speaker that came in, I'm making them think about their presentation, I'm jumping ahead on slides that I didn't even know existed, you know what I'm saying? So being actively engaged with life itself has sort of helped me feel more alive, if that makes sense. So, like you were saying, fall in love with stillness, but also being actively engaged in my own life. Dang. Because I feel like what a lot of us get stuck in is, it'll happen. It'll work itself out. Oh, it's just going to happen. Oh, I prayed for it, it's going to happen. Oh, I manifested it, it's on the way. You know what I'm saying? But nothing is ever on the way if you're not moving at the same time. The only way manifestations work is, like, yeah, you ask for it and find its way to you, but for it to start moving to find you, you got to start moving yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's not a butler. You don't just wish things up and they pop up. So being more engaged and also more patient. Another thing I used to do was, like, expect to be good at something immediately, you know what I'm saying? Have something right now. I should see how this affects my life right here, right now, because I just started it. No. Sort of falling into good habits that will show themselves on how important they are later in my life. And I enjoy that because it's like a waiting game. It's like an investment, you know, and you gotta wait to see what happens at the end. And
I think that's good. I think you have, like, a desire to learn, and maybe not even just, like, you know, textbook learning, like, just in general. And I think that's something, like, a lot of us might have lost touch with. In mm-hmm. So I feel like everybody likes to learn. It just depends, like, what it is mm-hmm. and how.
Yeah.
So I think that's a beautiful thing.
And to, like, we already have 44 minutes. To sort of, like... Sorry. No, it's good. That's good. That's good. Usually episodes are around, like, 45 minutes to an hour. But, how do you feel like you stay... Well, this is, like, the last little section. But how do you feel like you stay in contact with your, like, inner child?
Just by doing things, like, I probably wanted to do as a kid but couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I, like, moved and went to college, like, I'm like, okay, I want to buy candy at the grocery store. I'm going to buy candy.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that's something so small, but it was just, like, so healing for my inner child because, like, we always wanted to be grown up and, like, look what we're doing. Like,
yeah. Candy. Yeah, you can buy candy. You can buy whatever toys you want. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So that journaling is also...
Was that me? Oh, it's 5 o'clock. I don't know what 5 o'clock. My bad, y'all. Whoever heard that.
But journaling for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think also even just looking at like old pictures of me, like as like a baby or like a toddler, just kind of thinking about like, okay, all right, this memory popped up, and let me like, you know, like dedicate to this memory, like cater to this memory.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a memory of like, oh, I fell off the swing and somebody laughed at me, like, okay, how did that make you feel, and how do you feel like that might play into how you like navigate situations now?
Oh, yeah.
So I really just try to do like inner work and really try to take like something small, like, oh, somebody stepped on my foot, why did that just piss me off so fast?
Yeah.
Like, where does that stem from? Because I really feel like things are really that deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being able to like foster and like cater to my inner child has come, I've been able to do that through like therapy also. It's kind of taught me healthy ways to do that.
That's important. And even like just on my last, so we were last episode, we were talking about the importance of therapy, especially with like Black mental health.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good episode if anybody wants to listen to it. But yeah, I think you really hit on everything that like encompasses, you know, taking care of that inner child and sort of just doing the things that you want to do. I remember I really wanted, like, a lot of WWE figures when I was a kid. I might start, like, collecting them now because I just, I'm a big boy. Yeah, I'm a big boy now. I can do whatever I want. But, yeah, and then, like, another important piece that you hit on was, like, where does this reaction stem from?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't act out of who we are right now. We act out of our past engagements with whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of it shows up in our daily lives and we don't realize it. And we look for the solution to our problem extremely surface level,
mm-hmm.
by saying, okay, what happened last week that would have made me mad? But no, what happened like a few years ago that mm-hmm. pissed you off, that got you mad right now in this situation? So yeah, that's a really good, yeah. Thank you for that.
I agree. And I think even like I'll dedicate to my inner child, like simply like sprinklers on. I want to run through.
Yeah.
Very childish, but that's what I want to do. I'm doing it, like, yeah. Exercising my free will.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times we like forget that we have free will. Like we forget, you know, don't do everything you want to do, but like sometimes, I don't know, scream out loud, rap a song while you know, walking. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares?
Have you seen that video? Okay, this is back to social media, but you seen that video of that white girl at like the Moana 2 screening or something, and they were like playing like Polynesian music.
Oh, she just started dancing.
She screamed like an eagle. It's crazy. I gotta show it to you.
All right,
she just
then.
Let her. She's a thought. Just like. Okay, you know, I'm trying to think of it. Kind of crazy, but do your shit.
But, like, what are people going to do after that? People just going to be like, yeah. And you probably laughing, too, so it's whatever. But
yeah.
I appreciate you for coming on. I appreciate the conversation. This is always a surprise at the end, but do you have a quote of the day?
A quote of the day. I was actually kind of thinking about this when you were talking about it.
Yeah.
This is not even a quote. It's a scripture. I can't think of what it is, but it's faith without works is dead. So exercise like your imagination in a healthy way, productive way, of course, but you know, like, put in the work and have faith that it'll work out. And I think we all need to hear that at different times. Kind of cliche, but you know, I'm a little corny.
All right, thank
but
you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. All right, bye, y'all.